and our guests. All right, so we'll call the meeting to order. And let's see, what have I got here? Submitted by. Oh, that's the wrong one. That would make sense. This would work better. Okay. Call the May meeting of the Energy Commission to order. And begin with introductions of present commission members, and we'll tag the new ones as they come in. Begin, Edward Cohen, Chair.
Wally Schlenk, RPU.
Kelly O'Marrill, Member.
Steve Soltis, Member.
Anna Ritchie, Member.
Ray Schmitz, Member.
Cara Osterman, Intern.
Okay. And we give opportunity for those who've joined us, if they'd like to introduce themselves, if they had a minute or two of comments to share with us at this time.
Andrea Pedia with the local Spirit Club group.
And to the trustees. So what we've seen here over the years since that moratorium has been enacted is the number of haulers has been reduced because if a hauler is bought by another hauler, that license disappears. So we're down to four haulers, which is good for the city when we're talking about impact on roads. But it also allows for some competition and some innovation. Garbage Man, we teamed up with, Chris is a Rochester native, we teamed up with Chris and his partner in about 3 years ago, and we brought dual load trucks to the city. And we also brought weekly recycling to the city. There's only a handful of cities in the U.S. that have that level of service. So what that level of service is, a dual load truck is one truck, goes down the street, picks up both streams, garbage and recycling. Because we're using a dual load truck, we can pick up recycling every week. Our studies on our own business show that recycling goes up about 20-25% when you do this. Because on the second week, the recycling can fills up, and a lot of people just throw it in the garbage. So we've got less trucks on the street. We're one of the few cities in the nation that have weekly recycling that drives up recycling, which is a good thing. You have a moratorium until 2025, and you only have four residential haulers. So we're just kind of pleading our case to say, we don't think there's a need for this to be addressed at least until that moratorium is over, because you already have a reduced number, you have great innovation, and you don't have a lot of haulers here. So that's kind of what we just want to get out in front of it and say that.
Well, you are certainly way out ahead of it since the first meeting to discuss who's going to do what hasn't even happened with the Energy Commission and Public Works. So you are way out ahead of it, which I guess is good.
I just saw it on the agenda here. So.
Mostly for informational purposes, but and that's what you did. And thank you for doing it.
Thank you for listening.
Anyone else visiting that would like to comment or introduce themselves? All right, well, then we'll close that and move on. Should have all received your copy of last month's agenda. Everyone had a copy, had a chance to look at it. Any comments, questions, corrections needed? If not, is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right. There's no other questions on it. Call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Very good. Administrative issues. A couple of things I'd like to add to it, but the one that's listed is I think we're not a handful, but we're a new thing for Cara, and it would appear that being able to have some type of recording would be beneficial to that process. Would you agree?
Yeah, I'm starting it out today.
Okay. And since we don't have any, you know, fancy dedicated equipment to do this, you've got a phone that can do this?
Yeah, I'll see how it sounds later, but okay. I'm trying it out today.
And I have a device that I use to keep all my digital books that I listen to, which can do this. My thought was I don't know how well either of them are going to work, but if you pushed one to one end of the table and I pushed it this to another to kind of spread it out.
Sure.
Okay, because then this saves it as some kind of a WAV file or MP4 or something, and I can download that and send it to you later.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to push yours to that end? Does this give anyone heartburn? I mean, these are public meetings, but is there any great concern that...
Well, I think we asked Jeff to kind of do a survey. Mm-hmm. What's floating around? I mean, I know over the years there have been a multitude of...
Is this in the form of an objection or just sort of discussion? Because now would be a good time to start collecting it.
I'm just asking what equipment Jeff discovered... In the closets of the planning commission, department.
Oh, we don't take them anymore here locally because it's recorded at the public. If anything has to be recorded at the public meetings, like planning commission, and we don't. None of the other committees record them.
You want one at this
meetings.
Table?
Cute doesn't do it.
No, just at the other end.
Historic preservation doesn't do it. The city council doesn't do it for committee of the whole meetings. So there's no.
Let's see how this works.
We can come up with a tape recorder, it's just that we just don't do it because it's not a risk.
Well, the Environmental Commission does. The staff person, well, at least since what, I don't know, when I was on the Environmental Commission, the county's Environmental Commission, she taped the person who did the minutes there.
Yeah, we don't have the room. I mean, yeah, we just don't. We can do it, but nobody does it right now in the city.
But there isn't anything floating around, as I said, in a dark closet.
Oh, we have a tape machine. Sure.
But
whether we want to tape them. If we tape them, do we want to keep them? I guess is the issue.
Yeah, that's
it. We're taping it just to take the minutes and do the minutes. That's
my intention was not that these be kept for posterity. This is strictly to help keep track, because there is more and more stuff happening, and this looks like a way to make it helpful. And over time, it may not even be needed, but to give it a test and see if it improves.
Well, the only thing I would throw out is I would go with Jeff's. One of the problems we run into is if you use your phone to tape it, that makes your phone discoverable in a legal action. So if somebody sued us, went for discovery, they could actually request your phone, and that would become part of the litigation. And the same thing applies in terms of recording it and then blowing it up. You end up with arguments about, well, you know, should you have, which I mean, in today's world with the amount of storage that you can do for, you know, $5.20, the idea that we would not preserve the minutes if we did record them, even if they were done on a device that required them somehow to be uploaded into a server.
I think we'll need to see the quality of these. Neither of these devices are intended in the way we're using them. So I tested this at home, simulating something like this, about this distance. Yeah, you could kind of hear it, but it's not great. So let's just see how this goes the first time, if it's useful to you, produces what we want, and... I don't intend to keep these on here. This uses up all the storage for my books. So, something that is not on the agenda, and it didn't occur to me, is I have a bill to seek reimbursement on. Jeff, can I give that to you and we'll discuss it?
Yeah.
This is for a purchase I made for our EcoBooth table in the form of candy. Because people come up to your booth when you have candy and you get to talk to them. And there was candy left over, which is what this is. And what's going to happen is if you guys don't eat it all, we're going to leave it with Kara and Jeff to pass around here in the building. It came to $9.95.
So moved.
You get the piece of that, have a candy then. If you didn't second it, you don't get any.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner right there.
Requires a motion, but
okay. Well, it is expenditure fund, so.
Okay.
All we got to pay Ed is $9 and whatever it is.
Mm. Since we have a budget, why not do it? So, is there a second to that?
Second.
Okay. Having your mouth full is okay.
You got the caramel.
Okay.
And my arm up.
Yeah, keep going around because I certainly won't eat it all. All right. Call for a vote. I'll approve of expenditure. Say aye.
Aye.
All right. Thank you. And I think that you've filled that out well enough. On that. Another thing that's not on there is at the Eco Fair, we have a photo of the booth, which I thought I'd pass around in case people haven't seen Mike Benicke's legs in a while.
What now?
This was our booth, and I think it was a good experience for those who either came to it or worked at the booth. Any comments on the event, on the experience?
Were Mike's legs the other way you got people to come to the booth besides the candy? Oh, I see. Bike riding over. Okay.
All right, so what we'll do is we'll hold on to that, and as, you know, since we are a working board and we are kind of responsible for promoting what we do, this hopefully is just the first of such events, and we'll be talking about another opportunity here in a moment.
There is, just in case anyone is interested in following, you know, continuing the discussion of the Eco Fair and the potential of continuing it into the future, Ivan has a meeting at Assisi Heights at, oh boy, do you know the time?
Dunn
is
Brothers.
6:30 tomorrow.
Was it Dunn Brothers? Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Good thing you brought it up.
Yeah.
You'd have been
I'd have been up at Assisi Heights wandering around.
All right.
So it's Dunn Brothers, what, at 6:30 tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So thank you for that. Moving on to...
Which Dunn Brothers?
North.
Good. Thank you for asking.
Much easier than Assisi Heights.
And
besides that, you need coffee.
All right. As has become my practice, I sent around kind of what I've been doing on behalf of the commission. People have a chance to look at that. Did they have any questions, comments, anything on there should be moved to the agenda that's not for discussion? Good. Things are starting to heat up a little bit. And then this is an opportunity, if an item that you're going to talk about is on the agenda, you can hold that. But anything that people have done since the last meeting in the way of promoting the Energy Commission, our work, interesting conversations.
I've talked to a couple of foundations about possible grant stuff.
Which will be discussed.
Which is part of, yeah, it's
yeah.
a later agenda item, but that's...
Good. Anyone else? All right.
I don't see a lot on here about discussing green building policy.
That was in my notes, but could we get a mistake?
Well,
could we go ahead and add
yeah,
that
maybe now is the right time. So I attended a conference last week called
Let's discuss it now.
Impact Conference. It's put on by the USGBC Minnesota chapter. And it's a, kind of a whole day of continuing education, and there's a keynote speaker and all kinds of things. So I was up there and made a few contacts that I think will help in bringing some outreach and information to Rochester about green building policy. So I've emailed with Cara about some of the potential players in this and talked to them in person up in St. Paul, and they seem very supportive and willing to come down. And what I'm thinking of is kind of like a green building policy forum, maybe a two-hour type of thing, similar to the Sunshot presentation that we had. And the organizations that I talked to that would be good to bring down would be Fresh Energy. They have a kind of a built environment person, which is not Michael Noble, who's kind of more on the energy side of things. And then I also talked to a gentleman named Kurt from St. Paul, the city of St. Paul, who's their, I don't know his exact title, but he's like their energy coordinator, or their kind of he was their green buildings champion. So they have a green buildings policy in the city of St. Paul, and he'd be willing to come and kind of share from a municipal standpoint how that's been going and how it got implemented and all that. Turns out their policy, they received a grant to pull together their policy, and it was meant to be a model policy for other cities. So
good.
We might have a leg up there if we have him come down and share. And then, of course, USGBC is interested in coming down. And then there's a couple other groups that I think are kind of on the, you know, on the fringe of whether or not they should be involved or not. One is MNC, that Center for Energy and Environment, maybe? Minnesota Center for
Energy.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
They're, yeah, they kind of do research for people, but it's typically on a paid-for basis.
Yep.
So they said they'd be willing to, but I'm just not sure if they're going to be a great fit. And then the other was University of Minnesota Center for Sustainable Building Research, which does a lot of work with MNC.
That's cool. So,
well, I don't think everybody needs to be there, but I do think we could pull something together in a relatively short amount of time. I told them I was looking at within 2 months, and that was a couple weeks ago, so within a month and a half, pulling together this event.
Let's piggyback this on a discussion when we get to upcoming events, because there is going to be an event coming to Rochester, which is listed down in your upcoming events items. That is May 20th.
May 20th is in the cities, but it's a webinar. And then the Rochester one is like June 12th or June 12th,
okay.
Or 18th. There it is.
I think I've got, okay.
So yeah, we can talk. We can all postpone any further comments. There's just one other kind of topic that I touched base with some people on, and that's PACE financing, which I know you've been doing some work with, Ed, with the county in that.
Yes.
So there currently is a bank in the state of Minnesota for PACE financing. And it's all run through the St. Paul Port Authority. They're the bank for PACE.
Yep.
And they're willing to lend in Rochester
for
PACE projects. But I don't think anybody's really aware of that. So having the county be the bank, well, we're talking to the county people, but apparently it's already set up. There's a place that's willing to lend for PACE financing.
And it was structured, I mean, that when it was created, that was its purpose, was to become the statewide bank.
So I touched base with them, Monty, I think is the guy's name, and he would also be willing to come down and chat with the commission and the county, whoever would like to listen about, you know, what they'd be willing to do in an outstate situation.
Yeah, it sounds like we need to avoid confusing the parties. Maybe we need to get that person in touch with the folks at the county who are receptive to the idea and see if, you know, thanks but no thanks, we're going to do it in the county, or, well, gosh,
mm-hmm.
if you're going to do it, we won't even bother. But so much of what the success of these programs seems to be due to how much it's promoted. And a local active promoter of this program seems to be vital to its success. So let's work to connect up these two ends and
mm-hmm.
let them sort it out. But
yeah, there's, without getting into details, there are some significant reasons to go with the Port Authority Bank, simply because it eliminates the unnecessary duplication of effort the county would have to go through if they were to do their own funding.
Well, we just need to sort this out because
I
believe there are other communities in Minnesota that have already set up PACE, and you know, why did they do it? And what did they learn? And so, all right. Thank you for those communications.
Just one question. We've got the Green Building Group, and you have the the certification one, which I'm blanking on for some strange reason. Are they playing together at this conference you were at?
Well, the USGBC.
Yeah.
Yes, they were there. They were the ones who put on the conference.
Okay.
And most of the other organizations, all the other organizations that I mentioned are there. And whether they're just sending somebody for the education part of it, or there was a, you know, exhibit thing where, you know, people are exhibiting. So a lot of those organizations were there. City of St. Paul had a booth, and
okay.
Mincy had a booth. And
it would be valuable, and I know you know the people that are putting on the event down here in Rochester in June, to see how, what they'll cover versus what you're thinking to cover, and because people only go to so much.
My goal is education surrounding why implement policy.
Mm-hmm.
That
could be different.
Probably will be different.
Okay. Because Laura's quite interested in it from her perspective and with MPCA.
Right. Yeah, she used to be, she is actually a former board member at USGBC. Pretty sure of that.
Yeah, very, very talented person. All right. I have one decision item. I keep having this nagging feeling that there's more, but this has to do with an invitation to another public event to participate in the Healthy Living Fair, which is that once a year mega event at the Food Farmers Market. And there is a fee, and I think, Ray, you've gotten some material on it as well.
Yeah, you asked me to do some looking. The fee, I think, is $225 or something like that, now that we are derelict and not having been an early adopter. I did, you know, I talked to a couple of people, and then I have wandered through it a couple different times. This is a... The question is, would it be in our best interest to devote 4 hours of volunteer time and a couple $100 to a booth at this particular event? My impression of what vendors have been there, although there have been, you know, we've had some solar people there and we've had some car people, but in general, the people who have attended this are people who are engaged in one or another kind of either holistic medication or holistic wellness products, that sort of stuff, as opposed to energy and that kind of thing.
Or creating a healthy environment.
It certainly would be possible to, you know, if we had whatever number of volunteers, and I know you said you were interested in doing it, and I think you said somebody else might be. There are a bunch of people who come to the farmer's market who will then wander over to the next parking lot. That basically is where it is the parking lot toward the river. You take the cars out, and that this group has some tents, and I think there are a number of people who walk through it.
They claim 4,000.
Yeah, that's what they say.
Yeah.
So
I just wanted to throw it out, if it's in the combined wisdom of this group, that, yeah, that seems like the kind of place. I've wondered, could we share a booth with another appropriate, you know, public health or public works or something like that? But, until I got some feedback here, didn't know if it was worth pursuing.
Does RPU go there, Wally? Do you? I don't think so.
The range of exhibitors, I've attended once and just seeing that people are sponsoring things, it's very a wide range. They have, like, people who sell food, they've got chiropractors, they've got people that like to work out. It's just, wide.
I remember somebody selling these small straw bales for straw bale gardens.
I missed that.
Yeah, it looked really good.
Well, good afternoon.
Hey,
Greg.
Hi.
There
hi,
you go.
Sorry, folks.
So, you know, it's not exactly an environmental event, but there's certainly not much daylight between health and the environment, so I told the person from the Radish in the paper that I would bring it up, and
225, is that right?
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
And
I haven't got it in front of me, but...
They provide all the
you
know, tables and booths and whatnot.
Right.
You guys, I think I'm kind of, that's a kind of steep price. I'm kind of lukewarm on it. We do need to start ramping up our outreach, though, because I think we're going to be close to having a, you know, a plan out there, and so getting out is good.
Is this the thing that on my ledge?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's, they're kind of, I'm a little confused how the whole thing works, but yeah, it comes with a Radish email.
If at the booth we could have some kind of a community survey or something like that, so we're actually information gathering it, I could see the value in it. If we're just trying to advertise ourselves as existing, I'm not sure that I'm with Mike on the price tag.
No, and that's what I said to Ed, too. Yeah. I thought we had to have a pretty specific message for this thing in order to make it worthwhile.
Yeah, the survey makes a lot of sense. The at the Eco Fair, I did do a survey, and most people wanted to talk. People didn't want to write, and I questioned, will they want to do this here? But that could be a use for it. So they could, where will we be by June? We may be ready to say, would you be interested in joining a group or attending an event where we're going to talk about the contents of the plan?
Yeah.
We do that, and of course we want some input on what does the survey say, and other thoughts?
If you really are interested in getting people signed up for the PACE program, you could do an interest list on that. Like, if we get this PACE program going, would you want to hear about it and see if you're eligible?
I'm not hearing strong either way. This will be our only chance to decide. It'll be too late by the next meeting, so...
I don't think there's going to be a lot of benefit from it. I don't think the survey, we got much interest from that, from the Eco Fair. How many people signed up?
Three.
Yeah. So
we spoke to a lot more people than that. But, and I wasn't at the booth constantly, and I kind of push things like that. But
I think we benefit just as much from advertising, you know, in the Radish or something for it, than spending a Saturday afternoon there.
All right. 8 to 12 or 9 to 12, something like that.
I guess if I think if we want to try and push information out or get people to come to us to give us their opinion, then we could always put together, you know, more of a community input type meeting, similar to what we did a couple of years ago when we were at the public library and, you know, had a core group of people who came, about 25, 30 people.
Yes.
I think then we get the people who are actually kind of interested in our message as opposed to the people who are looking for handouts and, you know.
Candy.
That's what I was there
candy.
For.
Candy.
Did you get some candy, by the way? It's on the table here.
Yeah. Some dark chocolate in here. Oh, it is.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't eat it all.
Mine.
Do we need a motion?
If it fails to get a motion, that's
just as good as doing that. Maybe not, but okay.
Does anyone want to propose that we be there? If I'm not hearing that strong, then I'll consider that the will of the commission and report back accordingly. All right. Johnny, go, because it is kind of fun.
I'll be there with my kids.
Okay.
Yeah. Staggering around without coffee, or maybe with coffee. I don't know. They have a coffee vendor there, don't they?
There is a couple coffee vendors now at the market.
Well,
any event that calls itself family friendly and doesn't is not.
All right, well, we'll move into our discussion items then. The hot item is the status of the review of Wank and where we are with all of that. Jeff, would you please?
I emailed you folks a copy of the most recent version, kind of an explanation of what has happened since April 20th or whatever it was at the City Council. They asked that the matter be referred to the RPU and RPU board, actually considered it on their agenda April 28th, and then on May 4th, Wally, the general manager. Coach Cabrera over at U, and myself met with Aaron Heitkamp, the person on the consulting team, and went over the issues that RPU wanted to have addressed in the proposal for services. And so the information that I sent you and by email is the copy that I received today on the updated proposal. That updated proposal, I forwarded it at the same time to city administration, which I assume that they'll agree that it can be placed back on the council agenda for the May 18th meeting, which at that time they would, could, I don't say would, they could make a decision to proceed with the hiring of entering into a contract for their services.
This
was
mailed
to us. They have the money.
This
the money thing, too.
You mailed this today?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which explained why I haven't seen it.
I just got it today.
All right. Since the Energy Commission wasn't involved in that discussion, can you highlight what...
Again, it was just... It's in the proposal itself. It's more or less clarifications of the role and responsibilities of RPU already in the community and how those responsibilities will be reflected in their things they bring forward. RPU is responsible for certain things and doing certain things under their charter, so there was clarification that Blank wouldn't be redoing things and suggesting things and promoting things that RPU has a responsibility for. So that's basically what it got down to. It's just that issue. So it's RPU board will be given the opportunity. RPU board had a problem specifically that they thought that this proposal was suggesting that whatever came forward out of this planning process was automatically going to be part of the comprehensive plan. That was merely just a misunderstanding. I mean, the process for adoption, the plan's going to get prepared. City Council doesn't have to adopt it, but they're the only ones who can. And it will only become part of our comprehensive plan if they proceed to do that at the end of the process. So, but specifically in the proposal, it was clarified that the consultant would present to the RPU board the final document before it's presented to the City Council. So that was another issue that was clarified. But nothing else changed in the work program, per se. Not a thing. So it's exactly the same proposal, only with the...
Some of the language is cleaned up, I think.
Mm-hmm. So, Wally, maybe you could add something.
You did a good job.
Let me. Yeah, I have a question though, Jeff. Well, Jeff and Wally, the Energy Action Plan is going to be a document which is going to say blah 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 blah. This is what we perceive to be the planning progress for the city of Rochester in the next 20 years, whatever. Has the language that I looked at in terms of RPU, I'm not clear whether RPU envisions what you would produce in terms of RPU's planning documents would then be rolled into the Energy Action Plan or would exist in a separate universe somehow?
I think it is outside the Energy Action Plan. RPU's roles, duties, powers, obligations are very clearly spelled out in their charter.
No, I understand that. But you would adopt something which would, let's say, talk about the generation or the kind of energy that
sure.
would be planned
we do
in the next 20 years.
We do an infrastructure plan
right.
that actually okay. runs out through 1945 that's posted on our website, goes before it gets presented to the board, except put on file, and that really is our planning. That is the municipal IRP.
Okay. So, as I say, what confuses me then is we have the Energy Action Plan, and we have this other document, and I'm not exactly sure how they then come together or relate to each other or cross-reference each other or, you know, what happened to those two documents.
And I'm not sure. The Energy Action Plan doesn't address RPU's activities under their charter. I think all it does with the language is clarifies which of those activities in the Energy Action Plan actually falls under Chapter 15 of the charter. That was the approach we took to it. One of our concerns, I think we talked about it before, is, you know, we have the state setting our conservation program, we have all the different agencies setting emission limits, we have the legislature setting renewable objectives and everything. We're concerned that all of a sudden we get 2, 3, 4 different groups, all with different numbers. And so we're looking for some consistency, because when we plan something, we plan it for 20, 30, 40 years out. So it's very hard to have an ever-changing target out there. So, you know, our goal would not to be anything in opposition of the plan, but rather we tend to comply with legislative action or regulatory activity, those types of things.
But if the what I'm still trying to get my hands around, we have, well, I suppose if you consider transportation, we have 3 or 4 energy sources that are primarily involved in, are consumed in the city of Rochester. You have RPU, who one way or another is generating electricity and perhaps some other kinds of energy. We've got Minnesota Energy Resources that, and I have, don't, if we you know, looked at BTUs, I don't know who's bigger, who is the other 500-pound gorilla in terms of the amount of energy that is used within the city of Rochester. And then we've got transportation. Somebody's, you know, selling us all that gasoline, et cetera, and maybe somebody else that I'm not immediately thinking of. So the Energy Action Plan may very well address, okay, what are we thinking about in terms of natural gas, and how would we, into the next 25 years, look at the provision of that energy source within the city of Rochester, and what would we then ask or demand of MER in terms of charter, in terms of other things. But you're kind of suggesting that would not then be treated the same way with RPU, and I guess I'm just trying to figure out how those
I'm
play together.
I'm not sure. That is what I'm saying.
Okay.
I'm saying we have a set of very specific rules and regulations we have to operate under.
Okay. I understand that.
Is our concern.
And so does MER.
The PUC tells them.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yep.
Same thing, conservation programs and rebates and all these different. So I'm not saying that we're somehow exempt, but I also don't see necessarily the Energy Action Plan, you know, through zoning. There's ways if you want to set levels, say building efficiency or furnace
green
efficiency,
building that Mike was
there are
about.
Different ways
yeah.
of doing it. I don't think the Energy Action Plan does that. You're not look. The Energy Action Plan is not an ordinance that is going to establish efficiency levels. It's going to set goals and directions, those type of things.
Well, some of them do well. I mean, some of them I've looked at, you know, specifically speak to, for example, green building.
But it won't be an ordinance.
It would ask the city to adopt an ordinance.
Right. And what I'm saying is the Energy Action Plan doesn't govern any activities.
No, that's
it
right.
sets direction.
Nope. It's,
and there's either zoning or policy or ordinance that's going to set to.
But hopefully it's going to be identifying some low-hanging fruit for us to recommend to the city
that
we could follow up with an approach like that.
Yeah.
And remember, there's a common denominator to all these actions. Our the ask of the ordinance is reducing greenhouse gas emissions.
Yep.
And it just uses these various streams as the means to the end.
Right.
So if we're focused on a goal, which is the state's goal for greenhouse gas reductions, all of these others are the means to the end. There's many of them.
So the plan isn't, I mean, it's one of my criticisms early on was that the plan isn't getting into supply very much. It's basically referencing RPU's directions and saying that's the plan.
Mm-hmm.
The supply plan is over there.
If it will allow the city to meet its goals. If trending the line out where we see, you know, this current plan is going to be difficult to reach our stated goals, we need to go back and see what can we do. Is there any options, or are we going to say we can't reach these goals, and will that be acceptable?
Well, but yeah, I know that's part of what I'm saying. If RPU's plan is not part of the Energy Action Plan, if somewhere in there there isn't a chapter or a paragraph or something which speaks to what RPU is planning, not that it's written by the people who are writing the plan, but RPU provides that kind of information to the plan, it seems to me we're missing some coordination. That's what I'm sort of trying to get my arms around in terms of whether that shouldn't be part of what gets written.
I think it is in there. It talks about RPU being one of them at the table.
Sure.
As we establish
right.
the plan,
yeah.
and it doesn't.
Okay.
I mean, if you look at the scope, it doesn't determine that somehow RPU is outside of this. It talks about RPU being a participant.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was very consistent. You know, one of the things I look at, one of our main. Goals is effective collaboration and partnerships, public and private. For me, I see it as very consistent with that.
So it says WENC will work with RPU to gain perspective on opportunities, barriers, and plans to expand the renewable portion of RPU's portfolio and or diversify away from high carbon intense fossil fuels. Ideally, RPU would participate in the workshops.
Right.
That's mm-hmm. about the extent of what they can do. They can't force RPU to do anything, but
no,
they can
apparently
work with them.
Yeah.
And
right. Which is envisioned from the establishment of this commission by virtue of having an RPU representative on it. I'm wondering why we have an energy gas company representative. But so
we've suggested that we should get back in that.
Review that.
Yeah.
Well, we need to keep moving on, but at this point, we're expecting the City Council to have this in front of them.
Next week from...
No.
Yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, next week.
All right, so that'll be a meeting.
I can't make any promises.
Of course.
That's what we're anticipating. I think our issue is still money.
Oh, heaven forbid.
We don't have the money yet, and money's been being handed out over the last few weeks at the City Council for various things.
The senior center.
Yeah.
I just want to thank Jeff for your work and
yeah.
getting us an extra vision, and Wally, you probably worked on it too.
A little bit.
Most.
So thank you for that. I think the proposal has evolved, and even though it's been a really slow process, I think it's a better proposal now than it was 2 months ago.
Yeah, I do too.
Good.
No question. Thank you, guys. Is this, Jeff, you probably said this and I just missed it. Are you looking for this to go to the council or the committee of the whole?
Council.
It was on the council agenda once already. They could do that.
Okay.
I mean, that's the deal. They could turn around and say, well, we want to talk about this at the committee of the whole.
Mm-hmm.
We could end up there. We could end up in the bottom of the barrel or on the top of the heap.
All right.
So this follows under the category of if you haven't spoken to your city council representative lately on this, maybe this will be an opportune time.
We don't need a second letter of recommendation, do we? To say that we agree with RPU's input into the plan. Because that's what happened. They referred it to RPU for input. We got it. It's in. Do we need to say we agree? Would it be a more, kind of a coalesced approach if we did that?
The only reason I would say I don't think so is I know our board president is going to send a letter of support to each of the council people.
Excellent.
And so, to me, it's consistent. We reviewed it as a commission. We recommended it take place. It did go through the one extra review process. That's happened. Now they're going to say, yes, we agree and support this also. And Jeff issued a new council action form.
Yeah, I'm going to.
And,
well, I'm gonna get that.
And Mike was very, very clear is going to be doing everything he can to shepherd this through the process.
Good.
Good.
All right. Well, let's move on. I'm mindful of the time. The item on the waste district was, for those of you who weren't aware of it, haven't read the paper, Department of Public Works has been tasked with developing the cost savings that might result both to the city and to the homeowners if a system, current system, was moved to a district-type system, and the Energy Commission was asked to look at the energy savings, which I also interpreted as related benefits. I have a meeting scheduled towards the end of this month to begin that discussion with Public Works, and I'll keep you informed as to where this goes. Very possibly we'll be tasked with engaging the public and getting opinions and, you know, the soft side of this. So look for, perhaps at the next meeting, looking for how are we going to accomplish that.
Yeah, I think basically what they said, Ed, was that we would be charged with looking at the energy aspects of this review, and the Public Works would be looking at, the infrastructure.
Right, the monetary side of it. So that's going to happen, and obviously there's already a lot of energy around this subject forming.
Just a thought. Fleeting thought, I'm sorry, but might a CERTS grant help fund a actual, data-driven study on the energy impact?
Good question.
Perhaps. Obviously, we'd have to go with the strictly the energy. Fortunately, Minnesota Department of Transportation has already done something like this, and we have a copy of it. Michael has a copy of it.
For the city of Rochester?
No. For, in general, around the state.
Yeah.
How much out of weight trucks meet up mm-hmm. city streets?
That's not the energy component, right?
No, that's not the energy component. That's right.
But I will take, once we can come up with a number of vehicles, miles traveled, saved, there's lots of places we can turn to translate that number into all kinds of outcomes.
But how do they come up with that number?
That's going to have to be between when the haulers meet with Public Works and they start doing the what-ifs. That clearly be out of our area. But that's one of the goals, is to look at those kind of numbers. Because that has an impact on how many less traveled, vehicle miles traveled, which translates into how much less beating up of the mm-hmm. residential roads.
I think the only thing with CERTS might be timing.
Because yeah, those are only periodic. And
that would be happening much later this year.
Any other comments? Because I want to give Anna a chance to report, and she has to duck out here soon. So look for both the news from this group and also letters to the editor. Anna, you've got some funny research to share.
Well, thanks. So last meeting, I just sort of reported on some of the grants I had looked into, some of the organizations that offer grants basically that fit with our possible agendas. And most of them, what I had said then and we still need to look at is there's specific project funding for the most part. So we would have to identify what we want the funding for. And a lot of them have to do with community engagement and outreach, which is lucky for us because it's kind of what we want to do. The ones that were the best fits, excuse me, were Wells Fargo, the Lowe's Fund, and then Ford's as well. But I did have an opportunity to talk a little bit with some folks from the McKnight Foundation, and obviously they have to invite grant requests, but they're interested in what we're doing, specifically the idea that Rochester, with all this growth, doesn't have a sustainability director. So something to just keep in mind. So that's been my work, and I anticipate having kind of ongoing conversations where I'll be able to keep updating them on what we're doing, and obviously it's very good if the council adopts the EAP or gives us the funding next Monday. That's a strong step in the right direction toward putting ourselves out there for a possible long-term staff position that could help manage and implement that going forward. So that's sort of it. And then, like I said, if we come up with other projects we want to do, I would say rather than throwing $225 at a booth at a, you know, chicken feed sort of approach, that we could come up with some more direct public engagement or public education initiatives and then go after the funding, and I'd be happy to keep on that and do that.
So. Great. Very valuable. And it's a situation where we aren't able to obtain outside money until we've shown that we're willing to spend money internally.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just kind of the reality. We haven't risen to the level yet where these sort of funding sources say we're a good bet.
Right. Once the city, if the city puts close to $80,000 toward our initiatives, then we suddenly look a little more relevant. So that'd be great.
It's a step-by-step process. Well, thank you for your efforts on that.
Sure.
Wally, would you like to give us an update on the RPU SEMPA efforts?
Really nothing new. There's a SEMPA meeting tomorrow. Other than that, there's nothing we didn't already talk about. The solar RPU solar project should be on the May RPU board agenda. So, selected a vendor, had him out there today. Right now it looks like 500 kW on the RPU site, the service center site.
And it'll still be just a power purchase agreement?
Yeah, I mean, they'll physically be there, but yes, we have to deal with a taxable entity so that we can put together contracts to take advantage of the increment tax financing and some of the other tax exemptions that are related. Accelerated depreciation. We can't take advantage of any of those things, so we partner through a PPA.
What's the time period to when you do, it is yours?
It depends. We can buy it out any time after 7 years, I believe it is, which is how long it takes to get the accelerated depreciation on it. I'm not sure it makes any sense to buy it out because the dollar figures are high enough compared to the premium that we're paying above and beyond. So we may be cheaper to just keep it in a PPA. It's frozen. It's a non-escalating PPA. So we'll pay our agreed-upon rate from day one through day 25 or year 25.
Can you release what the cost will be per kilowatt hour?
Per kilowatt hour, you're probably going to be at about 10.4 cents, I believe it is.
Which is really close to what we're paying right now.
You got to be careful now. That's where you're talking about retail. And what we're getting into this place is wholesale. Our wholesale rate from SEMPA is 5.4 cents peak, so that's probably a good offset. Average price coming out of MISO is about 3.6, 3.7 cents. So solar is actually 2.5, 3 times what equivalent wholesale opportunities are out there.
And that's the levelized price. That's not based on how the prices fluctuate over the course of the day.
Well, our price is fixed with SEMPA, so that's definitely a good price. You can judge it against what wholesale costs are for energy.
It's just when we exceed what we buy from them.
The way it'll work, we'll be subject to exposure from the hourly MISO market all the time. SEMPA doesn't buy it at their wholesale rate. They buy it at what it would cost them to buy wholesale power, which is the MISO rate. And that changes every hour. Averages on peak, 3.6, 3.7 cents.
So we're still going to pay a premium because...
Still going to pay a premium.
Yeah.
Sure.
The reason I was confused is that when I look at my bill, I'm paying that range.
Your retail rate probably comes right... You're right about there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what we pay. Like if Ray would net out of his solar program, we pay retail rate to a... For net metering.
Is the vendor public? Can you say who it is?
You know, I don't know off the top of my head. I mean, I've got a team working on this, but I'm not sure. They were there today. I know my team met with them. They were all walking around laying it out in the yard, but I couldn't tell you who the vendor is off the top of my head.
All right, any other questions on that? Sounds like it's moving forward. It's sure going to look nice.
Well, it'll look better if I convince him that he's going to put pollinator-friendly...
You know, we're leaning more towards the old coal pile. You'll still like it.
I know, you coal pile you're going to do, but out there under the solar panels, you can do it.
There's a lot of concern about maintenance and all these other issues related.
Mr. Donette says he's shared with you some...
Yes, yep.
Native plantings that would be pretty user-friendly.
Yep.
Prettier than gravel.
Well, there wouldn't be gravel, I don't think.
Well, I can't get grass to grow in my front yard. I got trees.
So
it grows underneath them.
Yeah. Okay.
Wild ginger.
Yeah.
That really does grow well. That,
good shape.
Actually, strawberries.
Down on my north side.
All right. The name talked about was strawberry plants.
Are we segueing?
We have an issue with natural gas. How's that from moving transitions? We've got an issue that we addressed at our last meeting about getting 2005-2006 gas usage data. And as you may have seen, I think I mentioned in my notes, there's some issues, and Steve's been looking into them closely for us.
So I'll jump in here.
Yes.
So we just found this out, when was that, 2 weeks ago, a week ago? That the MER reported numbers have decreased considerably from what they did, what we've been using for the last several years. And so these are just, I don't know if I even have enough, some handouts. Two sheets. I think the front one is the current numbers, and the second sheet are the numbers that we've been working off of. And what happened is, in the reporting, commercial industrial has gone down like 30-50%, depending upon the year. And MER doesn't know why. So we don't know if they were always low or if they're missing something in the calculations. So we're investigating, but it's pretty significant. Residential went down a couple percent. And their point is, well, we think they're right. We don't know why it changed, and we'll be consistent in the future. So we don't want to do any extrapolation for the 2005 and 2006 until we figure out what's wrong with all of the numbers now.
Yeah.
So which numbers on here are the gas numbers?
It's the therms. So if you look... The second major row down, it says energy.
Yep.
So therms, residential, commercial, industry, and total.
Yeah.
Those numbers for every year are wrong. They mismatch. And then that affects the CO2 emissions, and it affects the cost as well.
Mm-hmm. So we got the numbers reported back and when we were getting our baseline year and all that stuff. And then when did we get new data?
Just 4 weeks
last
ago.
Month.
Yeah.
They gave them for all the years again?
Yeah. They recalculated it all and found out that they were way over reporting, or they've missed something in the current. We don't know. And so we're setting up a meeting with them.
Is there the possibility that this is caused by the difference between something within the city limits and something out of the city limits that hasn't been registered?
No, not this.
I don't think that's big enough to do that.
The residential maybe, I mean, that went down a little bit.
Okay.
Looking at the trends, I think they actually missed something. Just because I think the 2011 numbers jumped up, and they're more consistent with our old data.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But the new numbers are lower, meaning they may have included something in the original that is not included in the new numbers.
Correct.
And the scary thing, as Steve pointed out, is they can't explain the difference. And so we can't be building our proposal and our reductions and everything else on this foundation built on sand. So,
do you guys get contacted by MERC directly, or do they go through LBH or through the...
Yeah, through Becky Alexander.
Right.
And
yeah.
I checked with her, and her primary contact has been Rory.
And I saw some of the raw numbers that came out, and they adjust for the water treatment plant. They take those out so it's not double counted. So I don't have... I checked the raw numbers, and it's like consistent with this reduction. So the numbers that came out in, I think it was March, follow what's in this. So my point is, it's the RII numbers are close to what's being reported to them. So I have every confidence in Becky Alexander's numbers, just not Minnesota Energy Resource.
And it went the wrong way for it to be RPU, for it to be Silver Lake going gas. So that didn't explain anything.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I mean, it's all in commercial and industrial. Your residential doesn't look bad.
No. Right.
I just think somebody, you know.
Missed a category.
Put a table in, you know, in his spreadsheet, and it, somebody else caught it.
Well, Michael will be taking the lead on setting up the meeting with them, whenever that can happen. And whatever we can get out of it, I guess the question is, how satisfied do we need to be based on what comes out of that meeting? And, you know, they kind of turn their pockets out and say, this is what we've got. We don't have anything more for you. I think we all wish we had really solid numbers to go forward with, and so this is just a new challenge for us.
Right.
One of our many.
What kind of weather years were 2005 and 2006?
It's in there.
Yeah.
It would have affected
not 5 and 6.
It would have affected all
countries. Right. These aren't normalized numbers.
You know, what we find, though, is you know, because we adjust heating and cooling degree days, it's all residential. Commercial doesn't have a huge swing based on weather factors.
Right. That's interesting. Oh, yeah, because a lot of it's for processes. And
yeah.
So that's the update on that issue. Interesting stuff. Well, I see on the agenda that we've got some upcoming events. We've got the webinar, and that's the A item. It is free. It does sound very useful. And if you can, please register for it. That information there should be sufficient to run it down, bring it up on a search. The event in June, Mike was kind of sort of talking about, I believe that we can attend. It's some of you, it's going to be germane to your work. For others, it could be just of interest. And it would give us some ideas, perhaps, for how we would put ours on. It's always good for rubbing shoulders. And that last one, I was just suggested that I mention it. Not that any of us are going to be flying up to the Detroit Airport Hotel, but a lot of these things are going on. Other business that we should discuss at this time for the good of all. Eat the candy.
Our next meeting should be on someone's patio because city council will have asked us. I'll wait to see, I guess.
We'll let you guys organize that for us.
Okay.
You guys are good at organizing those things. Yeah, attending the that city council meeting this coming Monday. Sounds like it'll be could be significant. Any other business for the good of all?
Compliments to the new agenda. You did a good job of staying on active, pertinent subjects as opposed to rehashing the past over and over.
Well, hopefully that was the benefit of those notes. It pulls all that stuff out. But that doesn't mean that if something, basically the notes are things I'm doing, anything that I'm doing that catches in anyone's throat or that I'm missing and I should have done something else, please bring that up. I'm going 20 different ways at once and I can miss things and mess things up. So keep help keep me straight while I'm doing all this. But thank you for that, Willie. All right, well, then no other business. Is there a move to adjourn?
I move to adjourn.
Is there a second?
I second.
All right. All in favor, eat some candy.
Aye.
Thank you all. Whatever's left, put it in this and you guys can keep it here.
Edward, as I was flying into Boston on Thursday,
How's that for opening a conversation?
First thing I noticed was all of the solar arrays on the main terminal roof of the airport. I looked and went, oh, look at all that photovoltaic. Only I could get a photo right now. So yeah. I'd be really happy. It's very pretty.
Funny, I was at St. Thomas last fall, and as you fly in, they lined the runways with them.
Oh.
But it took you a minute to think they're flat.
And it was, yeah, he gave me one as well.
The equator. Sun's right above me.
Right.